Hey there, welcome to the Greenhouse Movement Podcast. What you'll hear today will shape your discipleship journey and inspire you to reproduce the ways of Jesus in others. Today, we are breaking down a key phrase we've used a couple of times here, living in the green. Pastor Mike and Pastor Robbie have all of the key parts of what this discipleship model looks like to share with you. Let's listen in.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Greenhouse Movement Podcast. This is Mike Patz, and I can't wait to do what we're about to do right now. I want to welcome Robbie Johnson to the podcast. Robbie Johnson, what is up?
What's up, Mike Patz? What's up, Greenhouse Movement Podcast? Good to be with you guys.
This is one of the greatest friends I've ever had in my entire life. This is a true brother from another mother. This is a disciple of Jesus. This is an apprentice of Jesus. And we've had quite a journey together, Robbie, haven't we?
Oh, it's been wild.
All right, so let me introduce you to him a little bit. This is the executive pastor of the Greenhouse Movement itself, and so you'll hear more about that probably before we're done. But Robbie, tell us a little bit about you, because you weren't always walking with Jesus on the straight and narrow, if you want to say. Give us a little bit, just a little snapshot of your testimony, because I love it.
Yeah, so I was a pool hustling drug addict and fell out of college, couldn't keep a job, and really a mess. And a girl shared the gospel with me in the Santa Fe College Library right here in Gainesville, Florida. I was studying to get back into school and spent about 3 hours.
She just walked up to you out of the blue.
Well, we were tables apart, but then I was smoking cigarettes. You know, you can do that. You used to could do that on campus. And I would, I had to go. So I was like, hey, watch my stuff while I go. And she just bridged a conversation with me, actually.
Nice.
And
nice.
I was a pretty rough looking character. So nice. It was pretty intimidating. But after about a three-hour conversation, I just believed that Jesus is God, and I just trusted him fully with my life. And immediately, in professing him as Lord and surrendering my life, I was radically transformed.
Yeah.
I felt a love and a forgiveness, a grace that words really can't describe. Mm. I mean, from the inside out, I was transformed. I was immediately delivered of a whole bunch of addictions, immediately and transformed.
So your drug addiction stopped right then?
Right then.
That's amazing.
My smoking two packs of cigarettes a day, no more desire right away. Instantaneously, I was crying, I was laughing. It was
at a college library.
Oh yeah, people around were like, can you keep it quiet? And I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. And
that's awesome.
Transformed. But you know, the follow-up conversation was how I met Mike was a friend was a part of Mike's youth group. And he's like, oh, you should meet, you know, Mike, you're graduating University of Florida. So I got my kind of stuff together and was trying to finish in my degree. And I said, yeah. And he's like, so I met Mike, and Mike had spent a little time with me. And I remember sitting across the table from me. And he's like, oh, Robbie, you've got lots of charisma, and you're great on stage, and you've got this, but you have no character. And I remember it was like, you can't say that to me. It was almost like a moment of like, can you? And he said it to me, punched me right in the stomach, but it was true. Mm-hmm. And I was a Christian by belief and really experienced God in a powerful way, but I was not a disciple at all.
And this is one of the passions of this podcast, actually, is I think there's a lot of people that are like you, Robbie, like very legitimately love Jesus, been changed.
Yeah.
If you died, you'd go to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is coming in your life, all of that. And yet, I was a youth pastor. I had begun to really develop a passion for discipleship, got very influenced by guys like Dallas Willard and others like that. And I had developed this deep passion for really walking out the ways of Jesus. And when I saw you, I saw all this potential that was not being realized.
Oh, yeah.
You were working at Publix at the time at a grocery store.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, tell everyone before we get into our content what your state was.
So I was really outspoken about my faith, but I was a pretty big hypocrite. In other words, I have a real external life that's really demonstrative, but I had an internal life that's just in shambles.
Yeah.
And so there was a joke because one of my bosses was a believer, and he called me in his office one day and he said, Robbie, you know, I really respect your courage and boldness about your faith. And then he pulled out this stack of paper that's a bunch of pink slips. And he's like, so every time you're late for work, it prints out one of these pink slips. And I'm so sorry, Mr. Willis. And he's like, no, I get it. So I just need your work time and like to match your profession of faith. You're really kind of hurting the faith a little bit, honestly. And it was so embarrassing. And that was the beginning of my discipleship journey of like, man, I need more than
that. Well, I had begun an internship program. It was one of the early versions of what we now have as a school of ministry here. And you were one of the first three interns. I went and recruited you really with the promise of if you will submit to discipleship and really come under the way of Jesus, you're going to change. And here's the funny thing, man. Here's what's so wild. it's ironic to me that I look at you now, because you were so undisciplined, and yet now you're such a disciplined man of character. I mean, there are few people that I know on planet Earth that have the character and the virtue that Robbie Johnson has. But that's the result of someone that really started becoming a disciple. Like, and that's the burden that we have even on this episode right now.
Yeah.
Just the multitudes of believers, they're totally sincere, and they just have not developed like they're supposed to develop. So today we're talking about living in the green and this is our discipleship approach. Because when I talk to people and we talk to people that say, hey, that's great, go be a disciple. But what if Mike Patz is not going to personally disciple me? What if I can't go join an internship program? Does somebody get to go and can I change? Can I develop? And our model has become what we call living in the green. So can you break down for us, because this is what we did with that internship, this is what you did, this is how I saw you grow, this is how I've grown, and maybe some of you that are listening, you wouldn't even put it in these terms, but we think in terms of living in the green. We think of, you've got yellow, you've got blue, you put yellow and blue together, it makes green. Break that down for us, Robbie Johnson. What is living in the green?
Yeah, you know, and just one more comment before we jump to that. You know, I've heard you say this phrase about Christians, we become spiritual pornographers, and it's almost as if we have experienced, but it's been so long, we look at a distance at other people living out a real relationship with Jesus, and we long for it, and we're jealous of it, but there's nothing real deep on the inside. And if you embrace a life of living in the green and pursuing Jesus and walking out this journey of the way of Jesus, like, you're going to experience heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Heaven on earth. That's the vision. Is like, it's not just heaven's a distant place that you're going to get to.
Yeah.
That there's a promise of heaven on earth. So when we speak of living in the green, we're speaking of this place of experiencing heaven on earth and reproducing that in
not
others.
Not just watching other people experience
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. And I really believe in personal experiences. This is the key ingredients for that. Living in the green is that. It's like my granny makes these incredible biscuits. I remember showing up one day and getting four of them, and my dad giving me that look like, stop getting more biscuits. And I was like, I don't care. I'm just selfish. I don't care if other people get them. So I got four, and I bit into them, and they were like hockey pucks. And I was like, what happened? And she didn't use like self-rising yeast or something like that. And I was like, oh. And I feel like there's Christians that are like hockey pucks, and it's like people are coming expecting like fresh bread, and they're hockey pucks.
And they're missing some key ingredients.
So these key ingredients are what we'd say is living in the green is worship, mission, and community.
Let's break this down. We're talking irreducible minimum.
This is it. Yeah.
When we get it down to the very bare minimum of what it looks like to be the church, what it looks like to be a disciple, this is our irreducible minimum, these three.
Yes, worship, mission, community. So we would say worship. Worship is this yellow arrow pointing up. This is the first love. Mm-hmm. This is like before you love the lost, and before you would love and fighting injustice, and before you would love the poor and the least, before you would love community and the church, the primary love and the focus is first love.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom, you know, pursue him first, love him first. And then from that is going to, once you fall in love with Jesus, you're going to get his heart for the lost, the least, the poor, the broken, the injustice. Your heart's going to go there because that's where his heart. So you draw near to Jesus, your heart's going to shift and move and care about. And then once you get on mission, you're going to look to your right and look to your left, and you're going to see people running with you, and that's your. And then you get community. I joke, when I was youth pastor for 10 years, I followed you, Mike, from being youth pastor, and I was youth pastor for 10 years. Multiple people that were youth leaders under me during that season got married, and the reason is they got on mission to disciple and reach a bunch of teenagers. And then they look to the right, and they're like, oh, you'd make really good disciples, and you're really cute, or you're really handsome, let's hold hands and do this together and keep running on mission. And next thing you know, they're in real community right now.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. So I think that's it. So the yellow arrow pointing up is this worship.
Yeah.
And then you have people, which is mission and community, and that's the blue. And if you live in yellow and blue, you get green. That's where we'd say living in the green.
So yellow is our relationship and our love and our pursuit of God.
Yes.
Blue is our relationship and our desire for people and our pursuing them. Yellow, not supposed to just live in the yellow, not just living in the blue. We're supposed to live in the green.
Yes.
Worship, mission, and community. That is how we identify discipleship. So when someone's asking, hey, I'm wondering if I'm a disciple, a good question to ask is, well, how's your worship life?
Yes.
How's your mission life?
Yes.
How's your community life?
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes I'll in discipling people, we're like, man, I feel so dry. And I'm like, are you serving people?
Yeah.
And they're like, No, I mean, I'm in a micro church and I pray every day. And yeah. I was like, well, you need to be a part of the broken and the hurting and investing in the world around you. Just go serve some people, you know, get involved in ministries that are fighting injustice and get out on the front lines.
Yeah.
And they'll realize, oh man, I'm missing ingredients, you know, to being a disciple, experiencing the fullness and expressing the fullness.
No, I like this because I think you're exactly right. I think there are Christians and people that are often feeling like, man, I feel like something's missing and I don't know what's going on here. And man, I'm in church all the time. And maybe someone's even involved in ministry to the poor, let's say, but they never pray or they never spend time in God's word. They're missing the yellow arrow. They're missing the worship. Yeah. And it's like, wait, you got to get that. You know, you can't, you don't want a hockey puck of a yes. biscuit because it's missing a key ingredient here.
Yep. And even, you know, when I'm watching, you know, having friends and being a part of a lot of activists, which mission is their main thing. And you're going to gravitate, I feel like, to one of the three.
Yeah.
We're naturally going to be, man, I love the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm a mystic. I just love being with Jesus and I love the scripture and I can stay there. Or I'm an activist and I just love mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm burning for. Like if you stay in that mission camp and you don't have good community and you don't have a relation with Jesus, you get bitter and you get frustrated at the church and people and other people, and they don't care and have the passion. They don't do what you do.
Yeah.
So that's why the green is important no matter what where you fall.
So this is really big, and we want you catching this because this is we're banking everything on this. Yeah. Number one, we go connect with God. We go seek the face of God. We connect with Him. We get His heart. From that, we move into mission, and we get on this mission, and that's where we go change the world, having already connected with God. And Robbie, would you agree that when people go try to change the world without having first connected with God, they end up having a justice that's off base, or they end up having mission that's kind of weird, or it's human-centered instead of God-centered. And and the only way to go change the world is to be obsessed with God. So when you get God first, then you do your mission. Isn't that what changes things?
Yeah, and I think that's where it's His mission. And if you don't have a real relationship with Jesus, it becomes your mission and not His mission. And then when people start messing with the mission, you start getting bitter and holding it tightly. And it's like, whereas people are trying to grab it from you, you're like, oh, it's not mine. You're not going to steal it from me, you know, because it's His.
Okay. So just like I've seen people trying to do mission that haven't yet connected with God and it never works. I see constantly people, they're trying to find a church. They're like, man, you know, I'm lonely. I'm bored. Mm. I'm whatever. I need community. I need a spouse. So I'm going to go get into a church.
Yeah.
And so people, it's like, you want to go where everyone knows your name. People are looking for community. The irony is, the difficulty is you never find community by looking for community. You find community by looking for something else. I mean, our experience has been, if you want to go connect with people, if you connect with God and you're with people, man, I don't know, man. I mean, Robbie, you and I have had this experience. We've been in prayer meetings together. Yeah. We've been in worship times together. We've wept together, laughed together, watched. There's a bond that you get when you were in that place when people encountered God or when they're doing mission. So could you just speak to that just for a second? Because we saw this in the internship. We've seen this with micro churches all across our church. Just this notion of this deep thirst I think our culture has. It's the loneliest culture we've ever had.
Yeah.
And yet you don't find the community you're looking for just by trying to find friends. You find the community you're looking for by connecting with God, by doing mission, and you're doing it with people, with brothers and sisters.
Yeah, you know, I've heard you say one of the first things you want to do with any major leader you want to meet is you want to hear them pray.
Yeah, I want to pray with them.
You want to pray with them.
Yeah.
You know? And then at that moment, you're not just connecting with God, you're connecting with God with someone else. And there's a deep community that happens on that level that's on a different level altogether. And that's where like they all bridge together. So they're not meant to be done separately all the time.
That's
so
even
when people say that God seeking or like a worshiping community, like, that's private. My relationship with God is private. I'm like, no, you know, you're not going to be private in heaven.
Right.
You know,
it's personal, but it's not private.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like the same with mission and community. Yeah. And so they all are deeply connected with one another. So if you get too strong or too weak on one, it's going to ultimately impact your livelihood, your buoyancy, your fullness, and your ability to reproduce that too.
100%. So play this out. Give me some of the, when we're talking worship, let's take the worship for example. What are some of the practices that a disciple wants to be thinking about when it comes to that? Because this is one of your passions, is what I would call spiritual disciplines.
Oh yeah, I'm teaching it in the Greenhouse School of Ministry right now. And
by the way, if someone wanted to apply for the Greenhouse School of Ministry, could they?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I would totally encourage it. It's incredible. It really is incredible. I'm not just trying to I was a part of it 20 years ago. Yeah. I experienced a lot of what is happening right now 20 yeah. years ago, and it transformed my
One
life.
One of the key pieces is this, though, right here, these disciplines.
Yeah, it's learning how to really know God and become who God designed you to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell people, discipline without direction is real drudgery. And so having that vision that God has given you of the man or woman that God's called you to be, worship, on mission, in community, having that vision, achieving that vision is through the spiritual disciplines. And so all of the, throughout history, people embrace these spiritual disciplines. So again, disciplines are a vehicle. They are a means. They're not the end. They don't make you more loved by God. They don't make you a better Christian. They're just a means to an end to become, to be conformed to Christ and to know Christ
more. Give me specifics. What are some specific disciplines you're describing?
Yeah. So I think a prayer time every single day, but people really dumb that down. It's so ridiculous. They're like, yeah, I have my little devotional time. I'm like, as if it's a, if almost like it's like a little dessert part. And if I get it, that's great. If not, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Whereas everything flows out of that time and developing a rich relationship with Jesus through scripture memory, scripture study, scripture reading, fasting, meditation, you know, all these different like spiritual disciplines you can engage with. It's beautiful. Waiting, listening, hearing from God, journaling, all of these different dynamics, and everything flows. That's where it all, you know, starts from.
So you're using the word discipline as activities that you can actually do in your physical body that
yes.
are going to help you connect with the God who is in heaven. Whether
yes.
So you mentioned prayer, mm-hmm. Bible study, Bible meditation.
Bible memorization.
Yep. Is that a big one, by the way?
Well, it's huge. You know, Dallas Willard would say, like, this is the discipline. This is the one, the most important one. So different different people have their ones, but it's the one, because then you're chewing and you're ruminating and you're stirring. And it's funny because people are like, I can't memorize anything. I'm like, well, you know, what's the most recent song you've listened to? Can you tell me the lyrics to that song?
Kanye West.
Yeah, exactly. And they can repeat. People are going around repeating lyrics from his songs all the time. They've heard it, you know, three times in the past 3 days.
Closed on Sunday.
Yes, exactly. So
I got my Chick-fil-A.
So you can memorize, you know, if you want it. But then you're just meditating, you're chewing, it's ruminating all day long. So when the scriptures say sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other, it's not like, you know, you're trying to think of some Hillsong song. You're like, oh no, I've got something in me. You know?
So when we're talking about connecting with God in worship, yes, that means we go to church on Sundays and we worship God.
That's
there,
a part of it.
100%. But we're talking, it's all week long.
Yeah.
It's, of course, it's 24/7. But there's
abiding.
Even times that we would like we in our culture, we'll even say here, man, Jesus got up in the morning and he would go and pray. He would go get alone with God. There's something about getting alone with God to set the pace for the rest of your day in life, right?
Oh, yeah. Shut the door. You know, it's like, get alone with God. He's there. Get in that closet, that prayer space. And someone's like, give, you know, I would say shoot for an hour. You know, Jesus asked the disciples, why can't you tarry with me 1 hour? Now, listen, this is not legalism. You're not trying to earn your salvation.
Yeah.
You're trying to recognize you're sitting at the table with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that fellowship and that relationship, and that would bridge into a bearing fruit,
100%.
knowing God and reproducing that. So.
We got to make this super clear here. First of all, Robbie, I need you to know, the first year I was a Christian, I heard a guy come and speak at the church, this church, and he challenged people, would you give the Lord 1 hour? Just because Jesus said that, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? I'd never even heard of that. And I was like, man, I'm going to try. And I could not do it to save my life. But I got to tell you, man. Me giving God time in prayer, it does not make God love me more. Like, and all of you that are listening,
That's
you
important.
Need to know this. You doing any of these disciplines, they do not make God love you more.
Right.
They do help me love him more, though. I do got to tell you that. Like, that happens for sure. So you've got the disciplines. When you've connected with God, though, something's supposed to happen in your heart where you actually care about the souls and the bodies and the emotions of people.
Yep.
You know? And so can you just talk about that? Because, I mean, from there, having connected with God, both personally and corporately, what a disciple now does is says, wait a minute, am I sharing this grace? Am I sharing this faith? Am I sharing my possessions? Am I reaching out with the justice, the mercy that's been given to me, turning it into justice for this world and mercy as well? So, I mean, can you just talk about that? What does that look like?
You know, I think God's given everyone purpose and mission here on earth of some kind. And a lot of times it'll be tied to your past. So, I was a pool hustling drug addict. So I remember Within 6 months of becoming a Christian, I met this woman. She's like, hey, God's done something in your life. Can you go visit my son at this place called Meridian, which is a drug addiction recovery thing for teenagers? So I show up, and these kids didn't want anything to do with me. I'm the preacher guy, blah, blah, blah. And they just kind of ignored me. And I just kept showing up, kept showing up, kept showing up. Finally, like the fourth week, I was like, oh, you guys got a pool table. And they're like, yeah, oh, you want some of this preacher boy? You know, and they just assumed. I said, oh, yeah. So I beat all 15 of them in like 45 minutes. The next week, all of them showed up to the Bible study, you know. And for a year and a half, it was as those kids are rotating through, I'm giving them Bibles with their name engraved on it and just trying to make an investment. So part of it will be a part of your story. Yeah. But God's in redemption could be doing something else. So whether it's, you know, right here, there's mentoring and tutoring that can happen. Yeah. There's right now, I always coach my kids' sports. That's a way for me to do mission because I'm meeting 20 new families, you know, and I'm engaging with them. I'm communicating. I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm praying with a team. And they're like, is it a Christian team? I'm like, no, but they haven't fired me yet because I'm a volunteer. What are they going to do? You know, so there's you got to find, you know, that heart of God. And then you get on mission. And you're finding that space where God is drawing your heart to do something about brokenness in the world. So
pool hustling to the glory of God.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And, and here's the catch. When we start to connect with God and we begin to connect with people and we do it with others, that's where the community comes.
Yes.
That's when the beauty, that's when people get to really know you. Like that's where someone really gets to feel you. And that's what living in the green is. Worship, mission, community, loving God, loving people. Yellow and blue makes green. Loving God, loving people. That's what makes disciples. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. And it's, and this is where, you know, when community, people are like, oh, I have community. What's that community? It's like, oh, we play golf together. I play golf. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But there's a different level of community when you've been in war with someone.
Yeah.
Versus when you're like enjoying the leisure activities of life. And that's where doing mission connects you with people in a deeper level. So microchurches here, Pastor Matt would say this, they don't just pray, they don't just read the Bible, they do mission together.
That's right.
Because when you're doing mission, whether you're just going out and sharing the gospel with someone, you're going through conflict, controversy. You're going through the trenches together, and there's that community, that bond that happens.
This is how we measure church, by the way, which is there worship? Is there mission? Is there community? This is how we plant microchurches.
Yep.
We would tell people they're not ready to plant a microchurch if all they're doing is doing Bible studies. Bible studies are great, but that's not church.
Yeah.
Church is going to have worship, mission, and community, and that's how we commission people to do that.
Yep.
Robbie, before we're done, can you just tell us what's the future what's the future of the Greenhouse movement and what we're trying to do? I mean, what is it that we're trying to do, especially when it comes to this living in the green kind of stuff? I mean, there might be a potential church planter listening right now, because this is our pet. We're trying to plant green churches. I mean, is that what's going on?
Oh, Mike, like, you know, I've Jesus is so good and he's so amazing and he's just incredible. And then I feel like there's a pathway to experiencing him and then even reproducing that in the world. You know, this is that living in the green. And so with the Greenhouse movement, we've decided, we prayed about it, and we feel like, all right, God, there's enough demand from people and our desire to do something to plant churches, to plant house churches and microchurches around the state of Florida and the nations. So we're developing the Greenhouse movement, and it's a mechanism to help leaders who feel called to launch and lead disciple-making churches. We want to equip them, inspire them, and mobilize them to do that.
So would it be accurate to say Greenhouse movement is really set up to equip and mobilize people to do ministry in the green?
Yes, 100%.
So if you are remotely interested in that, could they get a hold of you? Are you someone they could talk to on that?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, anyway, I guess I could give my cell phone number here, right?
No. 555-1212.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But no, seriously, if you're interested, though, man, look for us and hit us up. Greenhouse movement. We would love to be a part of that with you.
Yeah.
So Robbie, what would be a takeaway? So coming out of this, when someone gets out of their car, when someone ends this podcast, what is something we would like them to do with this?
Great. I think it on a simple level, because it's an irreducible minimum of living in the green. Take a yellow arrow, an arrow pointed up, put worship, and then two blue arrows and just say mission and community. 1 to 10, where am I at in that space?
Yeah.
And then improve in that area. You know, ask God and say, God, you know, I'm just not on mission at all. Yeah. My life is about me right now. Mm. And what a miserable existence to make your life about you.
Yeah.
I want to get on mission. What's the next step for that? I emailed someone last week because I haven't been working with those in addiction right now.
Yeah.
So I emailed someone last week, hey, is there space for me to get into the Meridian that's here in Gainesville? Mm-hmm. Just because I want to make space and be an outlet for that, because I felt that mission component lacking a little bit on my side. So I would say just grade yourself. You know, this is not like am I saved?
It's an assessment.
It's an assessment.
Yeah, let you 100%. Know how you're doing.
And then do something about that assessment.
So. I would add to that, you know, if you lead a microchurch, if you're in a Bible study, ask yourself, what's the worship quotient? What's our mission quotient?
That's great.
What's our community quotient? Even in your family, like even as a dad or a mom, if you're listening to this, you know, what's our family look like? How is it too yellow? Is it too blue? Mm. Is it not enough of those? And maybe just even the church that you're at, if you're leading a church, how strong is the worship? How strong is the mission?
Good.
How strong is the community? And watch what God will do. Any closing comments, Robbie?
That's great, guys. Keep loving Jesus. Even that you're listening to this communicates your desire to grow, to know him more, to reproduce heaven on earth. So praise God for you.
Just by listening to this podcast, you've taken the next step toward being a disciple and a disciple maker. After listening, take the next step by subscribing to the podcast, leave a review, and feel free to share with others. We can't wait to have you back with us on the next episode. Until then, live green.